The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Speaking of awesome introductions, everything AC/DC puts out, man, I'm telling you, it's so iconic. You hear the first couple bars and you think, I know exactly what song that is. Hell's Bells. George Brockler, right back with you here on The George Show on 710 KNUS. I told you at the end of the last hour I wanted to have a conversation about the red flag law in a way that would allow us, to understand the approach that law enforcement takes when it's analyzing any of these situations. And I think a great person to have the conversation with is someone who has been out in front on this issue, but also at the top of that law enforcement pyramid for a long, long time up there in Weld County. It's our friend Steve Ream. Sheriff, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, George.
One of the things that I think we should start with is an understanding of what the red flag law, and it's the Extreme Risk Protection Order is what it's called, but everybody knows it as the red flag law, what it is and was and what it is not. And I think we should start by saying, too, you were an opponent and I was an opponent of this version of the red flag law throughout the process because my opinion, and I think yours is too, it really does not provide the due process protections necessary for a citizen to have their Second Amendment rights protected against someone who may be unscrupulous, whether that be law enforcement, a disgruntled lover, or a judge, or whatever. It just doesn't provide that same level of protections. Have I misstated that?
No, I think that's pretty accurate, George. And I think the biggest issue with the red flag law is exactly that. You know, there's no way for the person who's being quote unquote red flagged to know what's happening until, you know, law enforcement shows up and says, "Hey, we're here for your guns." It's kind of a backwards way of doing business in my mind. The person doesn't get a chance to plead their case, whether that's law enforcement applying for it or, you know, one of their family members or close relatives or, you know, whatever criteria fit for one of those applicants.
Now, one of the things that's in the law is that within 14 days, no later than 14 days after this temporary ERPO is issued, and that's the one that takes place ex parte. Those are the big Latin words that the lawyers come up with that say one party. It's without the other party present, and that other party is the person that Sheriff Reams talked about, the person who's going to have their Second Amendment rights infringed upon. And make no mistake, they are absolutely having their Second Amendment rights infringed upon. And there's a process for that that can exist. This one chooses to allow it to take place without any input from that person for at least 2 weeks. And then there's a permanent hearing. Now, let's back up a little bit more and ask, now that we have that foundation, has your office been contacted by family members that have said, "Hey, I'm super concerned about a loved one and I want to move forward with a red flag thing"? Or have they called about that?
No, we have not. Obviously the politics in Weld County are a little different, but we have not had anyone who's asked for one of those filings from my agency, and nor have we sought one.
When you first off, there have been some sought in your jurisdiction, but it was your own inmates that sought against you. Yeah, that's right.
It was the same inmate three times. Yeah, that's worked out great.
I presume that didn't actually happen.
Well, it didn't get to the point where the judge issued the order, but three separate judges, all three judges, each time one of those applications was put in by the inmate in my jail, each time the judge warned him that if you do this again, you'll face some kind of criminal backlash or some kind of issue from the courts, and it didn't stop him. He just kept doing it. So, and of course, they didn't do anything to him. So
when you, and I sent you a link to the story out of El Paso County, and I want to be candid with listeners too. We just don't know enough about this old case that keeps surfacing. But the stuff that we do know is that El Paso County Sheriff's Office gets called out on this bomb threat by mom, who is apparently in the house with dude who has guns and says all this stuff. When you're dispatched to something like that, at least from what you've read so far, what do you do in that situation?
Well, I think any law enforcement agency would take that call very serious. You're going to work to try to resolve that situation without anyone being injured, and it looks as if that's what El Paso County SO did. They negotiated with this guy. They got him to finally, come out without any kind of confrontation. They took him into custody and, from what it appears, arrested him on several different charges, and then that criminal prosecution somewhere went awry. The other option there is, obviously a mental health component of, is this guy sane? Does he need a mental health evaluation? If he's going to jail, that evaluation is going to occur inside of a jail facility, at least in a larger jail. And so I assume all that stuff went into action, just as it would here in my jurisdiction. The part I'm struggling with is how those charges disappear and case gets sealed and he's back out on the street to do what he did.
I think it's fair to have those questions. I have them myself. But when you have brought cases, when you've arrested folks, even on felonies, like a certain situation, even within the zip code of this one, do they always result in formal charges by the DA, or are there cases where the DA is like, nah, I don't think so?
Oh, there's absolutely that situation, because there's the difference between, reasonable suspicion, probable cause, and then beyond a reasonable doubt. So, those are legal standards that we all have to meet. So me finding probable cause for a charge and the DA saying, hey, I can prove this beyond a reasonable doubt, there may be a factor there that just can't be proven in court. Oftentimes that's, a witness not participating anymore, not wanting to be, not wanting to be helpful to the prosecution. And in this case, we know it was mom who probably didn't want to play anymore.
That, by the way, not an unusual dynamic at all. We see that with domestic violence all the time, where someone
Absolutely.
Calls for help because they're wicked scared. I mean, they're legitimately scared. But then once the fear is abated by the presence of law enforcement and the bad stuff has stopped, many times they circle back around, and whatever that bond is they have with the person, whether it's from an intimate relationship or a familial relationship, they just decide, I no longer want to be part of a process that's going to see my loved one punished.
Yeah, and I think the tough thing here is if that occurred, oftentimes law enforcement, maybe the officer who was leading the investigation might be notified in that case that, hey, we're not going to pursue charges. But oftentimes, even in my own jurisdiction, we find out a case has been dismissed or, won't be pursued way after the fact of when that actually occurs. We're not always notified that, this thing happened. And, that's just the way it is. The district attorney's offices are busy, and they're not going to make a phone call on every case determination that they make. So this guy may have walked free, and El Paso County SO may have assumed, hey, he's got a court date coming. All these restraining orders are in place based on the charges that were filed, and we've done what we can do. There's a question about whether or not he should have been red flagged. I'm not sure law enforcement would have known that there was an issue to red flag him for, because they thought they had already dealt with it.
Well, and that's a great point, too. In this situation, would you, and this is all theoretical, of course, hypothetical,
sure,
would law enforcement have seized up all of the guns that were part of this situation, or what would happen?
I would assume that, in a case like that, that would, let's say it was presented here in Weld County, yes, we would have probably taken all of his guns just for the fact that, that situation seemed to be more than just a bomb scare or an alleged bomb scare. So, yeah, his guns would have likely been taken into custody. But once that case was dismissed from the DA's office, he would have been able to go down and ask for those guns to be returned to him, especially finding out that the case has been sealed. I mean, that's as if nothing happened. So, yeah, he would have likely had his guns returned to him. But again, that's a matter of who's talking to whom. Even in my own agency, if a person gets released on a case and they go out to my evidence facility to retrieve their items, I'm not sure that original detective is going to know, or that original officer is going to know that, hey, this case has been dismissed.
When you talk about the sealing stuff, to the extent that you understand how it works on cases like this, is that unusual that cases get sealed?
Not anymore.
True. You're right.
It used to be pretty rare, but with the changes in legislation now, it's almost very commonplace that you see a case like this get sealed. And so we just don't, you know, we know that an incident occurred. I say we, law enforcement knows that an incident occurred, but we can't really see the details of said incident. So the only way you would know what happened there is from news reporting or from officers who were actually on the scene.
The other thing, and you make a good point, 2019 and 2000, I think even this session, 2022, there were updates to the sealing law that made it far more permissive and far more automatic. So in a case where, like this, no charges are ultimately filed, I think it's automatic. There's a fee or something that you normally have to pay. I can't remember what it is, $65, something like that. But there's normally a fee, but then the judge will seal it. And the situation it puts you in is not only do you get to see less about what happened, but if someone ever asks you, you're supposed to say, we have no such records.
Absolutely. And so, you know, this question about should he have been red flagged by law enforcement, I would argue that you probably couldn't use this case against that individual in a red flag situation. You'd have to develop new information. I believe you'd have to develop new information in order for a judge to listen to that argument. The only person who would be privy to go apply for that red flag and use the past information would probably be mom. And it sounds like in this situation, she didn't want to,
you know what?
She didn't want to cooperate,
Steve,
anymore.
Steve, you have, I pride myself on thinking about things from 8 different angles to try to get to the answer. I had never given that particular point, which I now believe is genius thought. And that is, law enforcement hooks this guy up. They take up the guns. They presume that he's going to be charged. That charge is going to result in some type of a bond or a condition that says you don't get to have weapons and all that, and it'll progress. But once the case isn't filed and it's automatically at that moment, I presume, by the judge sealed, what the hell can you do? Right? Like, that's a great point. How do you then go forward to the court and say, this information that we have to say doesn't exist anymore, we'd like you to rely upon this in order? That is fascinating.
Well, you know, the judicial system is not necessarily always correct in the way they. Yeah, I know that's hard for you to believe.
Shocking.
But you know, there's all these complications that the general public just doesn't understand, and they shouldn't have to. I mean, the judicial system shouldn't be this complicated.
No. Okay.
This shouldn't be a case where we're talking about all these nuances. I think everybody understands this guy was probably suffering from some kind of mental illness. The systems that are supposed to be in place for dealing with these kind of folks simply weren't aware of his existence, I guess. And so it falls over to law enforcement. And then the minute that law enforcement takes action, you know, the concept is, well, you know, we've done what we can do within the realm of law enforcement to fix this situation. And then it goes back over to the mental illness side when the case gets dismissed and there's just no answer for him. And so here we are, you know, second violent act, or probably one of many violent acts, if I'm being honest. You know, it ends in tragedy.
That's still a fascinating point. It now is, if that turn, I'm going to take a look at the red flag law and see if there's any sort of exception. Like, you can use any information, even if it's been sealed. But it now is probably going to make folks ask the question, well, then why didn't they seek the red flag thing immediately right at the time that they booked him? But I don't think anybody would do that. Whether it's you or any, I just don't think law enforcement would do that. My guess is law enforcement would say, dude's in custody. Dude's going to go to court. He's going to get some kind of a bond. It's going to have bond. Dude's not going to be able to have guns. And that would just wouldn't be on my radar. And that's just me.
No, it wouldn't be on anyone's radar. And obviously there's a very typical process that occurs when you have a victim in a crime where a restraining order gets issued between suspect and victim.
Automatic.
So,
yeah.
You know, father and our son and daughter in this case, our son and mom in this case, I'm sorry, you know, whether there's a familial relationship there or not, that the existence of that restraining order would likely bar him from being able to purchase a weapon or even possess a weapon, depending on how that judge issued said restraining order. So there would be very little need for law enforcement to even think about going after a red flag order once they've taken the appropriate criminal steps.
And it sounds like this thing happened so suddenly. Again, we just need to know more. It sounds like the moment charges weren't filed, the judge instantly, it wasn't like there was any time to stop and think about it. Like, well, hey, give us a couple days to get a red flag in place. Even if that was on someone's mind, not that it should have been. I'm just saying even that, it doesn't sound like that was even available to them. Can I ask, we're talking with Sheriff Steve Reams from Weld County. Now, have you foreclosed in your mind the idea of ever invoking the tool that is that ERPO, like under every circumstance, or it's just one that hasn't shown up? And the reason I ask that is when you go to a situation or you're apprised of a situation, what would it have to look like for you to say, okay, I'd consider taking a look at our tools here?
Well, you know, I don't see a place where it fits in my mind, but, you know, I haven't been presented with that situation yet. I guess there's always that, you know, what if this happened? I don't know what that what if is at this point, but, you know, if we know someone is a mental health concern, they have violent tendencies, all those things, there's still a process for using my county attorney and going and trying to get someone adjudicated as being mentally defective, which would have the same ramifications towards their ability to own firearms, but they would get to be a part to that process. So they'd get to defend themselves going through said process. And that to me seems like the more appropriate way of dealing with things. But quite frankly, as I've said before, if red flag is the answer and we go and take someone's guns, but we leave that same violent person out there, that potentially violent person out there to acquire more guns or some other type of weapon, we really haven't fixed the problem. We've just maybe delayed it or postponed it. If this guy had been red flagged and his guns had been taken away, I don't think that stops what happened the other night.
Well, and it would have kept him from legally purchasing more firearms.
Correct.
Because
we don't even know if that's how he has them.
We don't know
that his weapons are legally purchased.
That's a great point. We don't know. That would also make this issue seem much more irrelevant too, and that is if he got the gun from dad or an uncle or a buddy.
Right.
Red flag doesn't stop that.
Right. 100%. I mean, there's a lot of holes in the system, and I think everybody's looking for that easy, quick fix and, you know, pin it on law enforcement to take care of it. And this is far more complicated of an issue. And when you're dealing with the crosses of mental illness and criminal issues, those aren't easy.
What are, in a situation like this, and again, I am admitting that we just have limited information about the prior incident, but if you were called out and rolled out to a scene much like this, where family member, it doesn't matter who it is, says, hey, so-and-so is saying really violent things, they want to do stuff, they have the guns, they have no bomb-making stuff, but they don't know that, right? So law enforcement rolls out, you do this thing, you put him in jail, and then the DA, for whatever reasons that we previously discussed, decides, I'm not moving forward this. What would the sheriff normally consider doing? What thoughts in your head would you have about, I still think this guy is a risk, but now the DA ain't moving forward. What do you do?
Well, that's a great question. I think if you know that the person, one, has been released, I mean, we're talking about, you know, in El Paso County, you're looking at 1,700 inmates that they're capable of holding. So you're not going to monitor every one of them that's being released. But in the event that he's released and in the event that, you know, charges have been dismissed, I think you have to reassess that and say, okay, do we have a bigger problem here? What's the history with this guy? Is this a one-off incident? Is this isolated? Do we have probable cause or reasonable suspicion to even investigate him again for, you know, whether he's a threat to the community? There's a whole lot that goes into play there, and that's given the idea that this happens in isolation and you don't have, you know, 100 other calls coming in where you're dealing with it. The solution is not clear. I don't know how you deal with that each and every time, because again, I think law enforcement believed they had dealt with it and it was a situation that was resolved.
Yeah, this is one where right now, of course, the media is spinning, trying to and I guess I am too, trying to figure out here what should have happened. And a lot of this isn't just to try to figure out what happened. But as you know, there's always an attempt to try to figure out how can we affix blame to someone other than the shooter? Like, yes, of course, the shooter's at fault, but how can there be someone else's fault? And so you've already heard the media start to say it's the anti-LGBTQ rhetoric of the Lauren Boberts and the conservatives. That's what created And now it's like, oh, right. And law enforcement failed. I mean, even Tucker Carlson in his whatever his editorial comments during a show last night. Even he takes shots at El Paso, like,
right.
Once again, government failed to keep us safe. And I'm like, how do you know that? How do you know that anything government did or didn't do led to this? But there's just this anxiety to try to fix blame on someone other than the shooter.
Well, you said it best. Sometimes it's just the fact that evil exists in people, and you know, the best thing we can do is deal with that evil as quickly and as precisely as we can. And unfortunately, this guy took five lives before a hero was able to step in and take care of him. But you know, there's no quick fix to this stuff. Our society has deteriorated to the point that I don't know what the answer is. But there's no way you can affix blame for his actions to law enforcement.
Yeah, I don't think so either. But I do want to, like you, I want to know the answers, in large part because I think those answers are going to reveal that outcome. I think what they're going to reveal is, yep, nothing law enforcement could have done here, or had they done something, it wouldn't have made a difference. Great insight. Sheriff Steve Reams from Weld County, man, thanks for taking time out of your busy morning to chat with us.
My pleasure, George. Thanks.
Yeah, talk to you soon. Hey, I thought that was fascinating. I honestly, when Steve brought up the point about the automatic sealing of the records impacting their ability to move forward in court with information that they now have to claim doesn't exist, that is fascinating. And that is maybe not a loophole in the law. That is like a defect, an incredible defect in the law. And I'm not even sure it would have made a difference. The other part Steve brings up, which I think is just very insightful, is we don't even know how Kat got the gun, right? Killer could have got the gun from a friend, a neighbor. Maybe he stole it. Red flag can impact zero of those circumstances. That's just fascinating. But back to the red flag portion of this thing. If you're out there, whether you're a red flag supporter in the terms of its current form, and I think it has a ton of limitations in terms of due process on it, is this one where you would want to see law enforcement jump in and seek a red flag law? I don't know. I could be brought to the table on this thing. But if you have a guy that body cams himself, and I guess he live streamed part of this, wearing a Kevlar, wearing body armor, walking around saying some things, he's got guns. Apparently there was some profanity. I didn't hear it. I only got to see the video. Is that a situation where you say, you know what, independent of anything that happens in the criminal justice system, I do think we should move forward with at least some conversation about red flag. No matter where you are in the position, I'd love to talk to you about it. Is this one where you think law enforcement should have, or somebody, because mom wasn't going to, should law enforcement have sought a red flag law here? And man, would it have made a difference? I don't know. 303-696-1971. George Brockler on the George. We'll be back right after this with you, me, the text, the calls. 710 KNUS. Crazy. That's what they say right here on the George Show, 710 KNUS. Some of the texts that have come in, a couple of them, I simply can't understand why the brain goes there. There's one texter. I don't think I can keep going back to this person because they don't seem like they're grounded. It says, red flag didn't work for the spring shooter because he was a perfect pawn. Manchurian candidate. No joke. This is a texter. Exactly where did that gun come from, Manchurian candidate? All these mass shooters have a few things in common. High-powered long rifles, top of the line, mind you. Body armor. They say the correct words that trigger outrage. And last, they were known and being watched by the FBI. Come on, man. You really think that the FBI is somehow involved in this and that they picked this guy out and groomed him to be? I mean, come on. What about the idea that in some cases, the simplest solution is the right solution? Do you ever hear of the Gordian knot? I mean, this is a guy who was clearly full of hatred. And it wasn't even the mom that he had was scared of him enough at one point within the last year or so to call law enforcement to protect herself from him, or maybe even to protect himself from him. Him from himself. You know, there's some version of those words that makes sense. this, listen, this again, I presume you're a stolen election person. I presume you're the one that thinks that China is causing everything to happen, including climate change. We're seeding the clouds to create problems. I mean, at some point, man, things are just the way they are. And the way they appear right now is this is an evil SOB, mental illness or not, who took his hatred out on a group of innocent, unsuspecting, unarmed patrons of an LGBTQ-friendly bar. What if that's just it? Couldn't that possibly be the outcome of all this instead of this nonsense? Oh, you ever hear of Occam's razor? Sure. But this is crazy, man. I mean, what else? It's almost like I think you think you're Keanu Reeves in The Matrix and you see like the little numbers. No one else can see them. Like they're all falling down. Everyone else is just the puppets and some. But you see the truth. Get your head wrapped around this thing, man. The FBI was not involved in grooming this kid and arming this kid and sending him into a club. For what purpose? Oh, wait. It's to get people outraged about AR-15s, and so there would be an assault weapons ban. It's about getting people sympathetic towards LGBTQ and shutting up the right. This is all a grand and glorious plan by the FBI to subvert our freedoms. Come on, man. Get real. No, Occam's razor. Gordian knot is the one where it seems like it's a super complicated thing, but at the end of the day, he pulls out a sword and cuts right through it. Because that's the simplest. This is the same kind of thing, right? I thought that Steve Reams interview was great here. We got some good texts on that, thanking him for coming on and doing this. Here's another text. George, a possible related issue. Much talk over the years about mental health care, but has the Colorado legislature ever taken any serious steps to make that a reality? No. I'm not even sure if you meant that as rhetorical, Steve, but no, they have not taken any steps to do that. Once we stigmatized things called asylums and made those things go away, we pushed all the mentally ill people back out onto the street, much like we're doing with repeat offenders, including car thieves, and just say, hey, society absorbed these people. And if not, then jails can. And now we've told jails you can't either. So there has been a real effort by jails, and I'll give a plug in for the Arapahoe County Sheriff's Office. It started under Dave Walcher, but it continues under Tyler Brown, and that is the RISE program. And it's an attempt to restore folks to competency in a speed and in a place that is not only safe, but also helps them to get back into the system and provides other mental health stuff. In fact, I think law enforcement agencies from across the metro area, if not the state, send folks to this program in Arapahoe County to get it done. That's part of it as well. But at the end of the day here, no, the answer is no, we haven't done enough for mental health. I also, though, don't want to confuse mental illness with evil. They're not mutually exclusive. And this guy down here at the Club Q Bar, I don't care what anybody says in the future about whatever mental illness this cat was harboring. He is evil. This isn't a guy who went in there, my guess is, didn't go in there and think to himself, these are all aliens who have taken over the bodies of these people and I must kill the aliens, and doesn't think he's really killing people. This dude's a monster. I'm glad he was stopped. The heroes down there at Club Q ought to be praised. They ought to name stuff after these guys. These are, based on the description I've heard so far, these are Kendrick Castillo quality heroes. Like, but for them, many more people are shot and killed. That's what the story should be. But instead, including Tucker Carlson, we want to blame law enforcement for what happened or didn't happen. And it's a conversation we have to have, and I'm happy to entertain it here. But one thing I just can't do anymore is to take any of these garbage, if I can think it could have happened kind of conspiracy theories. It's ignorant. It makes you seem dim to suggest such things as you have. It's not because it couldn't happen. It's because it didn't happen. That's just, it's nonsense. Says Boulder County has PACE. Yes, that's another similar program up there. Here's George. It was indeed a jab at the legislature. Yeah, thanks, Steve. I kind of figured as I read it, I'm like, you already know the answer to that, my man. Here's one. That's why there are many more homeless, mentally ill that abuse drugs. That part is true. Do you think the IRS would actually target conservatives? I don't understand the question. Part of me is surprised. This was from Monday. Part of me is surprised there's a popular gay bar in Colorado Springs. I guess I would be too, based off of the stereotype, but I think it says something good about Colorado Springs, about how tolerant that city really is when compared to the stereotype that people give. I don't understand, though, the quote, do you think the IRS would actually target conservatives? I don't know where that comes from. I do, because, of course, they absolutely have. Here's something you can target, and that is your oral health. I'm talking about Twin Aspen Dental Center, Doctors Richter and Snyder, who were just in studio, man, a couple weeks ago for a fantastic interview. If you didn't get a chance to hear it, they came in early in the 6 o'clock hour because, of course, they're spending all day helping people have healthier lives with better smiles. And the way that they do that is you make your appointment, you go down there, they do all of that preventative work that makes the big heavy lifting stuff that they're also good at largely unnecessary. Like, they'll do the bridges and the dental implants and all that other stuff and the crowns, but it would be great for them to not have to do it. And the way to do that is to take care of stuff, the preventative stuff. It's a lot like, and I'm not associating your mouth with a car, but with the principle. If you never change the oil in your car, it's just not going to last as long, right? Don't rotate the tires. Don't keep them inflated. Don't check the transmission. Then things go wrong much more quickly. Same thing with your mouth, which is the gateway to the rest of your body. Now, here's what's cool. These folks, in recognition, I think, of what's going on in the economy right now, has offered a reduced fee dental membership plan. It's pretty freaking awesome. It has an annual membership that includes two cleanings. That's what you need every year. That's what I do every year. Two routine exams, all necessary x-rays, an emergency exam. Hopefully you'll never need that. And one fluoride application for kids under the age of 18. Members also get 25% off all dental services. So take that first step towards keeping your already good smile and make it even gooder, if that's an acceptable word anymore. It feels very Dr. Seussian. Go to TwinAspenDentalCenter.com, TwinAspenDentalCenter.com, or you know what? Just pick up the phone and make the appointment, 303-841-7466, 303-841-7466. When you do, you'll end up driving down at that really conveniently located Parker and Stroh Road location right by Lehman Academy. That's TwinAspenDentalCenter.com. We've got callers on the line. I love them. We're going to get to them. Kent, you're on 710. What do you think?
Yes, sir. I never did hear that the gentleman, that guy, when he came in there with the gun, was it a rifle or a pistol?
Described as a rifle.
Rifle. How did he get past the front door with that?
Great question. I don't know.
Every bar that I haven't worked in that many, but I've been the doorman before, and you stand right there, check IDs and stuff like that.
If it's that kind of bar, sure. But I just don't know. That's a good question. I think we'll know more about that. But if the question is, did he shoot someone at the front door? Did he obfuscate and hide it in some way? I think that's important. But if the direction that we're going to go is they let him in because they wanted it to happen, and it was, I don't want to go down that road. I don't believe that.
No, I don't either. That club seems like it's really diverse too. I mean, there were straight people in there, and, you know.
How about
whatever.
One of the heroes? How about the Army veteran, the 15-year Army major that stepped out? That dude was there with his wife and his daughter, and his daughter's boyfriend was one of the victims, the murder victims. I mean, dang, this sounds like a happening place.
Yeah. But I just was wondering about, I never did hear anything about that, but.
Do you have any thoughts, Kent, on this red flag thing? Like, is this one of those situations where you're like, look, I would like law enforcement, even in the absence of familial engagement and encouragement, I want law enforcement to be more aggressive on seeking these things in situations like this?
I wouldn't mind, but it's just, you know, if I didn't like you at all, I could make your life miserable by just saying a couple things. So it's really a hard thing to for me to answer. I don't know the answer to that.
I'm trying to put things together in my head in a place where we just have imperfect information, and that usually leads to some wrong thinking. But based on that great interview with Steve Reams, where he just gives great insights.
Yeah.
My concern now is that had law enforcement known that this guy was not going to be prosecuted and instantaneously the case sealed against him, maybe they think of some other steps to take. Maybe they still have all his guns. Maybe they never return his guns to him. But to put him in a position and not be able to get more, it just makes me wonder. At some point, we're going to know more, Kent, and I want to ask more questions. But you have done a good job of getting us kicked off. Thanks, sir.
You're welcome. Thanks.
Hey, that was Kent. His line is open at 303-696-1971. We're going to cut away for a break right after I tell you about Bingo Reverse Mortgage, and we're going to be joined by our good buddies at Alpine Planning as they make us smarter right leading into Thanksgiving on what's going on out there. Now, you've heard me talk about Bingo Reverse Mortgage before, and there's a good reason for it. They provide the kind of service that I think what may be coming, and we'll talk to Brian about his opinion on this, what may be coming is going to put pressure on retirees. It's going to put pressure on those who are on the doorstep of retirement. And that's, if you're 55 and older, you have your home, give these folks a call at 720-541-5545, and here's why. No pressure, but these are subject matter experts in you tapping into the equity in your home for your benefit. You don't have to grab it all up. You can grab whatever you need to kind of lessen the impact of this crazy inflation that we've seen, this in Colorado historic inflation that we've seen, and what may be coming down the road as we try to navigate this economic, I don't know, tumultuous situation. These are the folks that can help you tap into it. Don't feel guilty about it, by the way. You've earned the equity. You've paid your mortgage on time. You're paying the taxes for the increased value of your homes here in crazy Colorado. Let them help you get into it. And if you tell them you heard about them right here from me, George, on The George Show on 710, they will refund back to you at the time of closing the $1,000 appraisal fee. That's real money back right into your pocket. Equal housing lender, call 720-541-5545 for cost information and conditions. Licensed in Colorado, NMLS ID number 226-8418. That's bingoreversemortgage.com, bingoreversemortgage.com. When we come back, I believe we're going to be joined by the man himself, Brian Gray from Alpine Planning. It's George Brockler on The George Show, 710 KNUS. Give me some shelter from whatever is going on out there in the economic world. Brian Gray from Alpine Planning. Sir, can you do that?
Well, I can try, but let me apologize first for the way my sinuses are making me sound this morning.
But you sound great. You really do. You sound normal.
Oh, boy, I am fighting one, George. I tell you what. Let's take a look at these numbers this morning because we are bouncing all over the place. The Dow's up 12.53. I'm sorry, the S&P's up 12.53. The Dow's up almost 200 points, and the NASDAQ's down 35. Yeah, we've been up as high as 300 points, and then we were as down as low as 100 points on the Dow, so we're seeing a lot of movement there. Got to remember this week's going to be, or it should be, a relatively slow trading week. Obviously, we're closed on Thursday, and then the markets are only up for a half day on Friday. But a couple things you want to watch later in the week. You want to keep watching this Disney stock.
What's going on?
Taking a pretty good jump since the change of leadership at the top. So we'll want to keep an eye on that because that's directly adding points to the Dow. Last figure I saw, it was averaging about 50 points on the Dow, so that's a good number. Got this looming rail strike coming right around the corner. The perfect timing for that right around the holidays. So we're not looking forward to that. And then, of course, you got the dynamic duo. You got Amy and Gabe. They're going to be in studio with you tomorrow.
Yeah, I wish it was you too, Brian, but if you're under the weather, man, one, I hope it's not the vid, and two, I hope you're quick on the mend.
Yeah, it's just sinuses been doing a lot of flying here lately, so.
Buddy, well, we're going to miss you in studio. It would have been good to get the band all together here prior to Turkey Day. Any big plans for it?
No, just trying to get healthy and be ready to kick off 2023.
Are you optimistic?
You know, George, I am, but I always kind of look at the glass half full. So I am optimistic. Obviously, the markets are going to have to turn around quite a bit. There's a lot of unknowns out there. And we all know that's the one thing the markets don't like is uncertainty. So, you know, if you talk to just me, I am optimistic about it. I think you can make some money out there, but you just need to stay on top of it.
If I ask you to guess, and it's just a guess, I'd never hold it against you unless we end up replaying these words to you again on the future on the radio. And that is half a point, three quarter point increase by the Fed coming up this month.
Three quarter.
Oh, buddy, I was hoping for half.
No, three quarter.
Are you saying that because you're smart enough to know that if it comes in that way, you look like a genius? If you overestimated, people are just so excited that they forget about the fact that you guessed three quarter.
Oh, hopefully they're gonna remember I guessed three quarter and I look like a genius.
You do look like a genius, man. One other question on this:
yep.
with the Disney stock, is it able to bounce around and increase that much just simply because of change at the top? If that is so critical, what impact has Elon Musk had on the Twitter thing? And what I've heard is mixed bag. He keeps making mistakes. He's doing all this crazy stuff. But at the same time, it sounds like he's cut expenses by like 75%. I made that up. But you know what I mean? Like something extraordinary.
Exactly. Yeah, no. I mean, the bottom line is Elon Musk, he knows how to make money. So you can't really judge what he's doing right now. We're going to have to look back, you know, maybe 3 years from now and see where Twitter is. But the guy knows how to make money. If he's coming in there and getting rid of a lot of expenses that aren't necessary, getting people back to work, which, you know, that's the way it should be, I'm going to put my money on him.
Brian Gray, I'm excited to see what float you guys have for the parade tomorrow. You're going to be in, well, at least Amy and Gabe will be in here tomorrow. I'm excited to see what the parade looks like. I hope it's a giant dollar sign.
It should be. It should be.
We love Alpine Planning. Alpine Planning Group, they are a comprehensive financial planning firm committed to improving your long-term, and that's always the key, folks, long-term financial success. Investing, it's always a matter of trust, and they are prepared to earn yours. Call them today, 303-843-0918, 303-843-0918. Thanks, Brian. Have a great and happy Thanksgiving, buddy.
Hey, you too and your family, George. See ya.
Take care.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC and registered investment advisor. Alpine Planning Group and Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. are not affiliated entities. 14 West Dry Creek Circle, Littleton, Colorado, 80120.
Now, listen, we only have about a minute left before we cut away and come back in the 8 o'clock hour. I want to continue to have this conversation with you about Red Flag, what you heard from Sheriff Steve Reams, and whether or not Red Flag is something that you would want law enforcement to be more aggressive on in a situation like this. I think we learned a ton from Sheriff Reams, by the way, something I'm going to keep looking at online here and try to get some more answers under the law. But then I also want to talk about Tucker Carlson and some of the comments that he made. And where does that leave us? Do you feel that same way? I don't. I'm very defensive and protective of law enforcement until they are proven to have screwed up. Many of you hear that here. Many of you, especially when it comes to the worker bees at the FBI, are outraged that I don't condemn the entire organization and conclude that it is rotten to the core. And I'm not going to get there. You'd have to prove it to me. You want to talk about the FBI leadership? Okay, I'll get there with you. But you talk about the worker bees or the sheriff down in El Paso or the DA, you're going to have to drag me to it with proof. I'm not going to start and stop there, much like Tucker Carlson did. Hopefully we'll have that sound when we come back. You just stick around for that. And then, of course, there is a topic we might get into in the 9 o'clock hour. Let's see. Did you hear that Merrick Garland had appointed a special prosecutor to look at and potentially help make the decision about prosecuting a guy named Donald J. Trump? He'd like to be the president of the United States again. That is a hell of a decision, and it has so many different aspects to it. Love to talk with you about them. Listen, lots to talk about, hopefully with you at 303-696-1971. Stick around, call in. George Brockler on The George Show, 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.